A few weeks ago, before we had to stay at home, I heard farmers were getting together on a property at Arohina on the banks of the Waikato River. They said I was welcome to come along.
Go away.
Good on you, Harry.
How are you, Brad?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah. Carol Styles from Radio New Zealand.
Hello. Hi.
Hello, Carol.
Well, don't hang around, you'll get interviewed.
Well, I heard voices around here, so we
which way do we go? Obviously this way?
Yeah, no, just going.
There's a lot of cars there.
Yeah.
You've got people arriving from all over New Zealand.
Yes, yeah, I think so, yeah. they don't seem to be able to tell us how many are going to be here, but it could be up to 80.
The farmers turning up to this South Waikato farm are all clients of long-time ag consultant Parry Matthews. Every year, the Manawatū-based farm advisor organises a trip where farmers spend a few days catching up and visiting other farms. This year, it's kicking off at Hui Rimu Farms, owned by Alistair Sheriff and his family.
This year, it's the Central North Island, and with an emphasis on the younger generation taking over the family farms. They're changing the way things have been done, spending a lot of money, I might add, but they're modernising a lot of older systems, probably, is the best way to think about it. Yeah, in our case, we've built herd homes, something I would never have done, but Robbie's was really keen on that idea, and it's been very successful, actually.
So he's your son?
Yeah, Robbie's my son, yeah. Our son, yeah.
So he's sort of doing some new things on the farm.
He's doing new things, yeah, for sure.
The herd homes on this property are two huge, mainly open-sided sheds with feed troughs running the length on both sides. They can accommodate 300 cows each and have slatted floors so effluent is captured and then can be spread around the farm when the weather's right, and that reduces the need for chemical fertilisers. Silage grown on 55 hectares of the farm is fed to the cows when they're in the shelters. The Sheriff's Farm Environment Plan shows they could reduce nitrogen leaching by up to 36% if they use the herd homes effectively and stop feeding winter crops. New concrete silage bunkers also prevent leaching.
And so we're changing our feeding systems and thinking, obviously, environmental issues all the time and technology, I guess. And they're doing things, and you'll see it right through on the whole trip, I think, where the emphasis on the farms are changing from the old dudes to the young fellas, and that's great.
As the father, has that been difficult at times, thinking, oh, hang on?
I think in some cases it has been, but in my case I've always been keen to have a go. I'll always have a go, so I've gone along for the ride, and I probably wouldn't have done it myself, probably, but it didn't take much to spur me along, really.
The Sheriff family have altered the structure of the ownership of their farm to accommodate new generations coming through.
We turned this into a family company in 08, I think it was, and we changed from just Jude and I owning it to Joanna, our daughter. She bought shares, and Robbie, the manager, he bought shares, and Jude's sister Rose bought some shares as well, so we're now a family company, and Jude and I are not the sole owners, and that's fine. It's great.
How's it changed decision-making?
It has changed decision-making. Sometimes decisions can get slowed down a little bit, but Rob and I are pretty good. Robbie and I work together pretty well, and Jude's good. Jude's a director. The three of us are directors, Robbie, Jude and myself. And so, yeah, we have meetings and we talk about things, but normally Robbie gets his way.
Robbie Sheriff manages the 300-hectare dairy unit and 850 cows, and his father, the 420-hectare dry stock block with its dairy heifers, cattle and breeding ewes. The farm also has half a dozen blocks of native trees protected by QE2 covenants, and the family has let another 100 hectares of steep land regenerate.
You know, we've always done riparian planting since 1977. Jude and I bought our first farm, and in that first year we did 50 chains of fencing and planted 3,000 trees, I think it was. To be fair, we've lost a bit of momentum at the moment with the government changing the rules, or we don't know what the rules are, so we've slowed down a bit.
Is that quite a good thing to be handing over to another generation, you know, when older farmers are a bit tired of all the regulations that they've had to deal with over time, to give it to pass on the farm, the management of the farm, to somebody who's got maybe a bit more energy, got a bit of a different attitude, comes from a different generation?
Oh, definitely. Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Robbie's the talker, much is.
Well, this is Carol Stoll from Radio New Zealand.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, thanks.
I wanted to have a big talk to you.
Oh,
oh God. Yeah. Really hook into him, ask him a heart.
Yeah, your dad was telling me that you're focusing on the changing of the guard today.
Yeah, I suppose the way that we've changed the systems in the last 4 to 5 years really is the way sort of pushing towards more that I want it, and I think sustainable, and I'm lucky that Mum and Dad are on board with that.
Has it been a bit tricky at times?
It has been. When we first started the development, I sort of said, oh, well, this is what we need to do, and chucked my toys out of the cot, and then once I sort of worked through it for Mum and Dad, they were happy enough, and they sort of felt that it's my time to be able to do that, and I've always had their chance, so they're at a position where they weren't worried about doing to the same degree, these sorts of things, so...
Right, they're prepared to take a few risks.
Yeah, they were sort of thinking, well, we're getting to age where we don't want to do a whole lot of big developments and projects, but if you want to drive it, that's fine. So I'm lucky that they've sort of given me the dairy farm as mine, and even on the dry stock, we still talk about everything that we do. We don't have a clear thing where I make every call. It still goes through to Mum and Dad and to other shareholders. But it's probably just making... The fact that I've got an equal voice and an equal vote is good, and they're also too trusting that what I'm saying is, even if they don't think it's quite right, they're willing to trust me on that. So I feel it's been they've been very good for that, and as a whole, I think the business is moving forward with more minds involved.
Are you worried about the new regulations that you might have to work with over the next 20 years or so?
I am, but I also feel that they're workable, and if we take the right steps now, we're going to fall into line anyway, and if we can be as good as we can be, we will be above the targets that are set. So at the moment I feel we're fine, and yes, all the compliance things are annoying and we seem to get hit constantly, but I feel a lot of it's, for us, is actually improving our business by doing these things, so I'm not too worried, and I feel if we can try and be in the top tier instead of the middle and lower tier, we won't have a problem.
Do you hear from older farmers that they've just had enough?
Yep, and yeah, had enough and not trying and aren't going to do it. Yeah, certainly. But I feel there's also too a lot of people that are having a go and making positive changes towards their businesses.
So what are you going to show people today?
So today we're going to do a run over the dry stock unit. We'll have a look at the different classes of stock, the sheep, the beef, the dairy replacements, and then we'll drive through the farm to the herd homes, show the cows in the herd home, have a talk about how our systems have changed by having a herd home, and what we're sort of aim is going forward. We're just waiting for everyone to arrive, and then we'll head on up the back of the farm and go from there, I think.
I've got spare seats.
So, Carol goes with you?
Yep. I'll jump in. Okay, fantastic. Hello.
Hi.
How are you? I'm Carol.
Hi, Carol. I'm Frank.
Hi, Frank. I'm coming for the ride.
Oh, good. Okay. Can you hear that?
Yep.
Oh, the week actually works. That's good. Anyway, just welcome everyone on our tour this year. And thank you all for coming. I'll hand over to Alistair and he can introduce everyone concerned with the farm here. And we're going to look at various spots on the way through. We end up at the cow shed, then back to the house for lunch.
Yeah, so Perry told me that we had to look at the livestock. So I put the breeding ewes there. I've got finishing heifers just here. Those heifers there are... our home reared.
How many of these trips have you been on?
It's the second one I've been on.
How many? Three or four? Yeah. Went to Tasmania 1 year or on one of the trips.
Outstanding trips, these trips, yeah.
And another year we did the Mackenzie Country.
You're from Rongatea, so you're a long way from home.
Does it say Rongatea, does it?
It does.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Frank's here.
Yeah.
The consultant, Perry, is based in Palmerston North.
Yep.
And is he your consultant?
Yes. A number of years, yeah. He's improved production on a lot of the farms for farmers, and
he runs below the radar a bit too.
You're going to a few more farms over the next few days?
Oh yes, we are. Have a look around, see what everyone else is doing.
And a boat trip tonight?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get out much. We're farmers, you know. Live very quiet lives.
Do Frank, you're telling me before, you've been on lots of these trips.
Yes, that's right. Usually 1 year in the North Island and then next year in the South Island. For about 20 years now we've been doing that.
Must be great to catch up with people year in
and year out. Yeah, it sure is.
Now, Alistair was telling me that the focus of this trip is sort of the handing over from one generation to the other.
Yeah.
Has that happened on your farm?
Yes. Yeah, I think the six of us in this tour here now that father and son farms, and I think we're going to all six. So, yeah, there is a transition, and Parry has been right there through this transition. He's really been just done it seamlessly. It's great.
How's it been for you, handing over the reins?
Oh, no problem. I'm just pleased to get out of it.
Why is that?
Oh, well, I've been farming for a long time, and I'm enjoying my life in Hamilton now, and they call me Sir Lunch a lot. So, you know, that describes what I do.
So do you learn things from the other farmers, or is it more about the catch-up?
It's a bit of both. You do learn. Look what we're seeing here.
We're just standing outside a herd home.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And is this the coming thing? I don't know. We're just waiting for all the new regulations to come in about river cleanliness and, you know, environmental stuff. So, yeah, we'll wait and see.
Okay, if we can gather around, we can talk about the herd home.
So I've started carving in. So effectively now, to carve all our cows down, we go through about 6 to 8 hectares of grass, where we used to be up to 9.
Must have been a huge investment. Must have cost an awful lot. Has there been any payback?
Yes, there has. A lot of the payback's untangible, so it's things like feed wastage, which it's very hard to put a quantity on, but it's absolutely huge. We're producing the same milk now out of 100 less cows than we were beforehand, and we're able to do that year on year.
Do you put that down to using a herd home?
Yes, I do, yep. Sort of the same, we're still doing the same levels of feed per cow, but we're just getting greater efficiencies. And also, it's for ease of management for myself, it's just amazing. I was really struggling when we'd have the weather events to manage the farm, and now it's just easy.
If it's too wet?
Too wet, you plan it. When a rainstorm's coming, they go in. If it's too dry, well, they're in at the moment now for 12 hours and they're happy as hell.
How can you tell that they don't mind being in there?
Well, I always wondered that, but you never have a problem getting them in the herd home. You open the gates, they know they're going to the herd home, we don't even need a bike behind them, they just walk. Where beforehand we would have to sit behind, and it's saving guys over an hour a day sitting behind cows. Also, too, when you open the gate to let them go, there's not a massive steam. They just casually walk out, and then you have to actually go and get them out. So, and that's even if they've finished their food.
Okay, so if they didn't like it, they'd be out of there.
That's my take on it, yeah. So we're about 50 metres from the shed. So I think that's crucial if you're going to do it. It's got to be close. We're 600 cows in one herd. We can bring up 300 at a time and leave the other 300 in shade and with water. So those cows are off concrete for an extra couple of hours a day, which is hugely beneficial as well.
Somebody was telling me the other day that if a cow has to walk a K to the shed, that's one litre that you'll lose. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, at the moment, we're saving them walking in the heat. We're normally trying to bring them in at 2 o'clock when it's hot as anything. And so that's basically all that energy they're getting now, they're putting straight into milk. And we are a bigger farm, so we do have longer walks. But we've noticed a reduction in lameness. And there's a whole lot of flow on effects that are, as I said, quite hard to quantify.
You're from Northwood, which is quite a long way from home.
Yes, I am. We farm at the Kapua Monastery Farm there. Our farm consultant works with Parry, and had the farming system already established when we started share milking there this season.
So you're only new?
We're only new. So we're just learning the new system and, I suppose, expanding our network, meeting other people, similar mindset. And because there's so much change in the horizon, I don't think it's a time where farmers can really be on their own. So I think getting out and seeing what other people are doing and what they're facing, and building some contacts, I think, for us wanting to grow our business, that's why we're here. It's the right thing to do.
So this is the first field trip you've been on with this group?
Yes. It's interesting. We haven't come from Parry's thinking.
I hear his approach is a little bit different. and that he believes in fully feeding cows. Is that right? Is that
what? Yes. Fully feeding on a lower stocked but still high utilisation of pasture. I guess the Dairy NZ model, which you're probably aware of, was higher stocked and utilising that pasture through just having more cows on farm. So for us, the big thing was how do we, with less cows, manage the spring well and still, you know, peak high. Yes, but anyway, it all went really well. So no need to be alarmed. Yeah, no, it went really well. We did it, so it was good. It was exciting.
What did you do differently?
Probably on the farm size where we are, we're probably milking 200 less cows than what we normally would. Like, we'd normally be stocked at 3.2, 3.4 cows to the hectare. So we're at 2.4.
But you've maintained production.
We've actually increased it. Yes. Yes. So that's what I'm saying. It's fun to do something different and discover a different way of doing things, and perhaps I think it's actually better than what we were doing before.
These are all your clients?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Well, some of them, yeah. they're from all over New Zealand.
Yeah, how long have you been a consultant?
Started off with the consultant for the Dairy Board in 71 72. Then 22 years lecturing at Massey and back full-time consultancy in 2000.
Now, what's the longest time you've been with a client? Have some of these people been with you for 30 years?
There are some here, probably 45, 46 years.
You would have gone through that period where people were just ploughing money into upping stocking rates, upping production, and now there's been a bit of a turnaround, hasn't there?
Well, there has been a turnaround. I think I was challenged by a client right back in the late 1980s about stocking rate, and just keep adding more cows and getting the same answer, changing things, nothing changed. And that was really the catalyst to say, well, we could actually do better with fewer cows. And so there's a huge potential in the New Zealand herd that we're not exploiting or not utilising, that the average cow in New Zealand can do 450 milk sods or 500 milk sods if we feed it properly.
And what are they doing typically now?
Oh, it used to be, it's probably 350 to 360 now on average. The average has come up. But, these cows we're looking at now are doing 560 a cow. The herd home is just a management thing. They'd be doing the same production without a herd home, probably. Yeah, our attitude to supplement is that we need to fully feed our cows at all times, and therefore, where we've got limitations in grass growth, we need to fill those gaps in. We don't really want to just put more and more feed in and carry more and more cows. We don't want to carry stocking rate with supplement.
Now, the focus of this trip, I understand, is that you're going to farms where parents are handing over to their kids.
Yeah, we had our last trip in this area about 10 years ago, and so since then the whole generational change, the younger generations, the only generation hasn't changed is me. It's interesting that the younger farmers are coping better with the environmental constraints and what's happening in the industry now than their fathers, if you like. You know, they're more able to say, well, this is where we were, this is that, and this is how we're going to make it work.
How many clients do you have, do you think?
I personally service 65 clients in New Zealand.
And on the trip today, where are the farmers from? The furthest north is?
Kerikeri.
And the furthest south?
Tapawera, Nelson.
And everywhere in between?
And everywhere in between, yeah. I see clients regularly on a 5-weekly basis.
You must do a lot of Ks.
I do a few Ks. But I love it. Working with such enthusiastic, motivated people. I mean, I should have retired years ago, but I'm still going.
How much is this trip about learning something new, and how much is it about socialising, getting off the farm?
It's more about socialising, getting off the farm, getting like-minded people together. The beer at night and the things that, and just quite happy to let them stand around and talk. It's not about learning anything new, because they probably won't see a lot of things that they aren't doing themselves in some way.
Yeah. Yep. What else is on the agenda?
Oh, just more farms.
Ag consultant Parry Matthews ending that story.